All right, Shavuot say good morning and a good yar. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. Yashar Koach. It was so beautiful yesterday that during the short break on Yom Kippur, Baruch Hashem, we had a full base medrash. And I think most people remember the daf. Baruch Hashem. So today's daf is Mem Aleph. We are going to pick up. We actually ended off. We covered a lot of ground yesterday. We actually ended off on the top of Mem Aleph, but I'm going to take you back this morning just to the bottom of Mem Amud Beis. Amr Shmuel. Excuse me, Amr Rabbi Zeira. It's a 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Last few words on the line. Amr Rabbi Zeira, Amr Rav Mas, Amr Shmuel. Tcheles in b'mishum kilayim. The halacha is that there is no shatnes by tcheles. There is no shatnes by tcheles, which means, well, we'll see exactly what it means. What it seems to mean is that halacha lemaisa, that if the tzitzis themselves are comprised of tcheles, so that it doesn't represent any type of shatnes problem. Ba'afilu b'talis p'tura. And even if they are placed on a talis, which is technically not subject to the laws of tzitzis. So the Gemara says, my talis p'tura, what does that mean? If you want to say that they're being placed on a beged that doesn't have the requisite shear, but yet the halacha still is that there's no problem of kilayim, that's not true. Vatanya, we learned, talis atalis shakotam is kasva rosh of rubra. We'll say we spoke about this halacha in depth yesterday. That if you have a talis, a garment, which ultimately, again, is large enough for a child to cover the majority of his body, type of mem aleph, v'agodol yotzi bo darach harayim. And it's the type of beged, that a godol, that an adult, would wear out on an infrequent basis. Rashi points out, if he's going out to the shuk, he's running out to the supermarket, he would put on this beged b'derech arai. He wouldn't wear it on a normal level, but if he has to run out, he would use it. Chayeves b'tzitzis. Such a beged is chayev in tzitzis. So you see that by tzitzis, there seems to be that the beged has a minimum shear. However, but if the katan ultimately, again, would not cover the majority of his body with it, if the katan can't cover the majority of his body with it, even if a gadol would wear it, derech arai, pater, ultimately, again, it is pater from tzitzis. And the same halachos that apply to tzitzis also apply to shatnes. So the Rabbi said, the Gemara asked, we asked about this, my v'chein le'inyan kilayim. What does that statement mean that these same halachos apply to shatnes? If you want to say that it means that the same halachos apply for isir kilayim, then the Rabbi said, that a beged is only subject to the prohibition of kilayim if it's large enough that it covers the head and the majority of the body of a katan. And a gadol would wear it derech arai when he has to go out to the shuk. So there's a problem with that. V'honan tanan, we learned, ein arai b'kilayim. We learned that when it comes to kilayim, Rabosai, any shear, any amount is problematic. In other words, that even if it's a smaller garment, it is still subject to the laws of shatness. So we're trying to figure out what does this mean. And interestingly enough, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok said that what? The same halacha also applies ultimately to the sheet or to a linen sheet by tzitzis. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vam Rav Nachman, it's the first of the short lines in Rashi. My v'chein le'inyin kilayim v'chein le'inyin sadim and tzitzis. Alma tzitzis betalis she'in bashir yesh b'mishum kilayim. Therefore, Moshe, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, if you have a garment that ultimately, again, doesn't have the shear for tzitzis, it is still subject to kilayim. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. We've spent a lot of time trying to go ahead and create an overlap between the halachos of shatnez and tzitzis. And again, rightfully so, because of that juxtaposition, which tells us that tzitzis is permitted to be shatnez. What the Gemara is now doing over here, we'll say, is untangling these halachos and saying that there is a dramatic difference. What's the dramatic difference? Tzitzis requires shear. What's the shear for tzitzis? It has to be, the beged has to be large enough that it covers the majority of the body of a katan, and an adult would wear, which is the same shear that an adult would wear, derech arai, if he had to run out to the supermarket, right? If I have to run out, I'll throw something on. What's the minimum beged that I'll throw on? A beged that is large enough to cover the majority of the body of a katan. People say that is the smallest shear of a beged that is chayiv in tzitzis. Yet, when it comes to shatnez, There is no minimum shear for the prohibition of shatnez. Even the smallest of begadim is chayiv ultimately in shatnez. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, elamai p'tura. So ultimately, again, so what does it mean, Abose, when we said before, that if you have tchelis in your tzitzis, if you have tchelis in your tzitzis, and the tzitzis themselves are shatnez, then ultimately, again, there's no prohibition, even if the talis itself is p'tura. What's the talis p'tura that we're referring to over here in this braisa? Hetel mutalos. What it means ultimately is, we'll say, that halacha l'maisa, if you went ahead and you put shatnez tzitzis, get ready for this case, shatnez tzitzis on a beged that already has tzitzis, you're not chaya for shatnez. Okay? So I'll say, so the Gemara says, v'ha amra b'zirich adazimna, Boser Rabbi Zeir already taught us that on Yom Kippur. He taught us that yesterday, right? Then remember again, Boser, we spoke about that case where you put tzitzis on a beged. I remember I invented the new word. Remember my new word for Yom Kippur? Tzitzist, right? Tzitzist. If you put, nobody remembers that? I was excited to remember that. Thank you. Right, so we already learned that yesterday, that if you put tzitzis on a beged that is already tzitzist, right? Then what? Then halacha lamaisa, it still works. So the Gemara says, that's the case. That's the case, the Gemara says, that's what it means when it says, if you put shatnez tzitzis on a beged that is p'tura, you're not chayiv mishum shatnez. So we'll say, so that's the case ultimately of putting a second pair of tzitzis. Remember, we spoke about this, why isn't it bal tosif, all the different things like that. So the Gemara says, we already learned that case, to which the Gemara says, chadva michlal dechaverta itmar. In other words, essentially, one case is being inferred or being learned out from the other. The idea being, yes, we said it yesterday, but this statement, this price is coming to be mosif on that case. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Tas Moses, first of all, we emerge, by the way, with two very important pieces of information here. Number one, that there is a minimum shear for the beged of tzitzis. What's the minimum shear for the beged of tzitzis? The beged has to be large enough that a katan could cover the majority of his body, of his head and the majority of his body, which translates into the minimum shear that an adult would wear with a beged if he has to run out. If he has to run out quickly somewhere, it was called Levisha Derech Harai, he would wear that. We'll discuss exactly. And by the way, we'll say that is halacha l'maisa. That's what we spoke about yesterday. If your tzitzis is too small, your beged is too small, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So we'll speak about again what the actual size of that is. Your tzitzis have to be in alignment with your body, right? Have to have an actual shear to them. What we also learn is that halacha l'maisa, there is no minimum shear for shatnez. That any beged that you wear that is shatnez, even the smallest of begadim, ultimately again can be subject to the prohibition. Tarabanan. Talis kfula chayav v'sis. Rabosei is a very interesting case. Talis kfula rabosei is, I have an oversized garment. So what I do is, I fold it in half. But if you can imagine, I'm folding it in half along the length of the garment. So now watch this. When I fold it in half along the length of the garment, I effectively create two new corners of the garment. I lose two corners, but I also create two new corners. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Chayeves betzitzis. The halacha is, you have to put tzitzis along the two new corners. On the two new corners. Reb Shimon says, you don't have to go ahead and put tzitzis on the two new corners. V'shavin shim kafla v'tafra shechayev. So we'll say Reb Shimon's logic of saying that you don't have to go ahead. Here, look at Rashi for just a moment. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. The Gemara says, look at Rashi. Talis kfula shay sa'aruka kishtayim v'kafla. It was very long, and I went ahead and I folded it in half. Reb Shimon poter shim tipashet nimtzis tzitzios be'emtziyusa. So we'll say Reb Shimon says, here's the problem. The problem is, you don't have to put tzitzis on that, because if you unfold it, then what's going to happen? You're going to end up having tzitzis where Rabbi Osai, by the head. You see, the idea over here is, I'm folding it along the length, and then I'm going to wear it widthwise. So I have four corners now. So the problem, Rabbi Shimon says, if you end up putting tzitzis by the new corner, what's going to end up happening, Rabbi Osai? If I ever choose to unfold it, I'm going to have tzitzis by my head. And obviously, again, that's not the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Rabbi Osai, b'shavin, they both agree that what? Shim kaf la v'tafra shechayeves. That if you sew it, if I fold it and sew it, that I will be chayiv in tzitzis along the new corners. Why? Because the act of sewing the garment represents a certain level of permanence. So because there's an element of permanence here, therefore I have to put tzitzis on the new corners. So the Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? If you sew it, right? If you sew it, then halacha lemaisa again, you are creating effectively a new baged, to which the Gemara says, lo tzricha denakta besichi. No, when we speak about sewing it, lav dafka, that it means with stitching, but rather it means like with pins. So I'm pinning it together. So I might have thought, therefore, even though the pinning doesn't necessarily have the same level of permanence as stitching itself, nevertheless, that's enough of a permanence to make you chayiv in tzitzis. Rava bar Huna, ikla lebe Rava bar Rav Nachman. So listen to this. Rava bar Huna went to the house of Rava bar Rav Nachman. Chazid of a michse talas kfula. He saw that Rava bar Rav Nachman was wearing a folded talus. V'rami lechutei ilui kfila. And ultimately, again, he went ahead and he put tzitzis on the area of the fold. Or is that the area of the fold also became a new corner, and he put tzitzis on the area of the fold. If shita, so at some point in time the garment became opened up, v'asa chuta v'kam lahadi reshe. And what happens? He discovered that what? That now he had tzitzis by his head. Or is about to say, when the fold opened up, so ultimately now again, what was a corner once again becomes the top of the baguette, so that he has tzitzis by his head. Amar le, lav hainu knaf de kasev rachmana ba'araisa. He said that this is not the corner that the Torah refers to. In other words, you don't need tzitzis like this. Asa shajay. He went ahead and he took off the baguette. So he took off the folded baguette. He said, you know, I'm not going to wear this baguette. So what happens? He will say, ichse glima achrisi. And he covered himself with another baguette. Amar Lei, we'll say, listen to this, and this opens up a brand new conversation. Amar Lei, mi savis chovis gavruhu, chovis talishu, zil ramile. So he says to him, what do you think? You think that by taking off the beged, suddenly you've alleviated the problem? Tzitzis is not a chovis gavra, tzitzis is a chovis cheftza. Well, say, so this is a dramatic statement. You see, he said to him, what do you think? You think by taking off the garment you've alleviated the problem? No. Even if you're not wearing the garment, ultimately what? There is a din of putting tzitzis on the garment itself. So we'll say, so now, what we've just opened up over here is a brand new element of this conversation. Up until now, we have always assumed that the din of tzitzis is not a din in a four-cornered garment. It's a din in what? A four-cornered garment that I wear. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is suggesting of Rabbi Rav Huna is saying, you think by taking off the garment you've alleviated the issue, it's not true. The mere existence of a four-cornered garment, by definition, requires the placement of tzitzis. So it's nice that you took it off, rolled it into a ball, and threw it into the corner. That doesn't take care of the issue. Let me say this. Let's listen to this. So say that this following supports them. Chasidim harishonim, the early chasidim, kevan she'argu ba'shalosh. Once, we'll say, remember again, we spoke about this yesterday. The early Hasidim, once they went ahead and they wove 3 finger breadths of a garment, hayumatilin batchelas. They would go ahead and already begin, they would put tzitzis on that garment. Now, remember again, in yesterday's daf, we reinterpreted that statement. How did we reinterpret that statement? Remember again, how did we reinterpret it? To mean that as soon as they got the three finger breadths of the end of the garment was fully woven, they got to the end, because the halacha is you put tzitzis within 3 finger breadths of the edge of the garment, they would already put tzitzis there. Now the Gemara is understanding it in a literal sense. No, what it actually means is, Chasidim harishonim, when they would go ahead and what? When they would actually go ahead and just weave a garment that was 3 finger breadths, they would already put tzitzis on that. So both say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lamaisa. Now, let's go back for just a moment. What we call it, like, let's say is very exciting because we get to bring together everything we've learned. Based on what we just learned, tzitzis, a beged only becomes chayv in tzitzis when? Only, right? When it's large enough, ultimately, again, to cover rosho verubo of a katan. Clearly, when it's 3 finger breadths, it does not satisfy that criteria. Yet, now, get what do you see? Chasidim Rishonim were still going in and putting tzitzis on it, to which the Gemara says, Shani Chasidim demachmir anaf shayu. Don't bring a raya from the Chasidim. Right? The Chasidim are always machmir. Right? These Chasidim, ultimately, again, were machmir on themselves, but it does not go ahead and generate normative practice. Good. Upliga, I'll say this is wild. Upliga de malacha. And ultimately, again, this argues on the statement of the malachim. Incredible. Incredible. I say, see, that's what Yom Kippur does for you. Yom Kippur allows you to argue with Malachim. Upligid the Malachim, Rashi says over here. Rashi says, listen to this. There was once a malach who found Rav Katina the Michse Sadina. And Rav Katina was wearing Rav Katina as Sadin. And we've already begun to see, Sadin always refers to a linen garment. So Rav Katina was wearing a linen garment. Amarlei Katina. Katina. Sadina Bakaita. Visarbala Bisisva. So he says, so the Malach called out to him, Katina, in the summer you wear a linen garment, and in the winter you wear a woolen garment. Now, we'll say, now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Dimichsei sadina, telo havilei tzitzis, kedamina le'el mishum ksus layla." So we're going to qualify this a little bit, but apparently, again, Rav Katina was wearing a linen garment in the winter. This linen garment, as we'll see, was ksus layla, was a garment that was normally worn at night. Ksus layla, we alluded to this in yesterday's daf. We heard a lot in yesterday's daf. So ksus layla, garment worn by night, is not chayiv in tzitzis or reisem also. Doesn't exempt a ksus layla. So he would wear, so during the winter, he would go ahead and wear this linen garment. Excuse me, in the summer, he would wear a linen garment, which was ultimately, again, pata from tzitzis because of ksus layla, which we'll discuss. And in the winter, he would wear a woolen garment. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, sarbala, kigon osan shalanu shahin agulin ve'in l'shnei kenafayim. So we'll say this woolen garment had two rounded corners. You don't even need two rounded corners. One rounded corner is enough. Because that one rounded corner, therefore what? It was pata from tzitzis. So he says to him, so the Malach says, the Malach called out, Katina, in the summertime you wear a linen garment, which is pata from tzitzis. In the wintertime you wear a woolen garment, which is a rounded corner, is pata from tzitzis. Tzitzis shal tchilas matei alel. What's going to happen with the mitzvah of tzitzis? Right? So the Malach was giving him musar. Katina, the clothing you wear is always pater from tzitzis. Apparently, again, during the summertime, the linen garment you wear is pater from tzitzis. During the wintertime, the woolen garment you wear is pater from tzitzis. What is going to be with the mitzvah of tzitzis? Amarle, anashiso ase. So Katina, says to the Malach, tell me, Malach, am I held in Shamayim? Do they punish you for the non-performance of an assay? We'll say tzitzis is an assay. It's a positive commandment. So if Katina is saying, okay, I don't, it's true, my begotten happen to be pater from the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tell me in Shamayim, do they hold you accountable for the non-performance of an assay, for the non-performance of a positive commandment? Amarle bizman diikarischa anshinon. So the Malach says, yes, when there is a period of divine wrath, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us accountable for everything, even for what? Even for the non-performance of a positive mitzvah. When there's a time of divine wrath, not only am I held accountable for my averos, but ultimately I'm held accountable for the non-performance of my mitzvos. So we'll say, now watch this. I amit bishlam achovas gavruhu, haynu demechayiv, delo karami. So we'll say, if you hold that tzitzis, there's a din of tzitzis on me as an individual, I have an obligation to wear tzitzis. I understand why the Malach is giving Rav Katina Musar. We'll say it's a very important Gemara. Ela I amrit chovas talisu halo mechaiva. But if you understand that tzitzis is not a chovas gavra, but tzitzis is what? A chova on the cheftz, on the object. If there's a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis on it. Then what? Why is the Malach giving Rav Katina Musar? Right, we'll say at the end of the day, if the garment is pater from tzitzis, what's the musr here, we'll say? What's the musr? If it's not a four-cornered garment, or it's suslay, why does it give you musr? We'll say, get ready for this. Elamai, chovas gavru. Ultimately, again, but rather, what do you have to say? You're right, tzitzis is an obligation on the individual. The Gemara says, Nehi dechayvi rachmana, ki michsi talas debas chiyuva, ki michsi talas delav bas chiyuva, mi chayvi rachmana. So we'll say, the reality is, it's both. Tzitzis is an obligation upon me when I wear a garment that is four corners. See, Rabbi Osei, as we're going to see in just a little bit, see, if you hold that tzitzis is a chova on the cheftz, on the object, That means even if I'm not wearing it, you have to put tzitzis on it. That's going to be counterintuitive, as we're going to see in just a little bit. So we'll say, so really, tzitzis is an obligation upon me, but only when I am wearing a garment that has four corners, right? That's only, if I am not wearing a garment that has four corners, there's no chiyuv. Aye, so why does the malach give Rav Katina Moshe get ready? Elachi kamarlei, tetznaki lemiftar nafshich mitzitzis. So we'll say the malach was saying to Rav Katina, Katina, in Shemayim it looks like you're finding ways to exempt yourself from the mitzvah. See, Rabosai, the mussar that the malach was giving Rav Katina is such a profound mussar. You're right. Are you living on the right side of the law? Absolutely. You're wearing a non-four-cornered garment or a garment that's not chayav mitzvah. Rav Katina, let me ask you, why? Why does it look like in Shemayim you're trying to go out of your way to exempt yourself from this halacha? Rabosai, you understand the incredible mussar of this. It could be that a person could go through life, and I'm living on the right side of the law, right? I'm living a halachically, I'm living a legal life. But I will say sometimes we go ahead and we cut corners, right? No pun intended, right? We cut corners, right? I will say, and ultimately, again, we do things to exempt ourselves and to not have to push ourselves. I'm not committing an aveira. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm still living in the right side of the law. But the shayla is it right? Just because I'm not committing an aveira doesn't mean that what I'm doing in my life is right. And that was the mussar that the malach was giving to Rav Katina. Are you living in the confines of the law? Are you halachically okay? Absolutely. Is what you're doing right? No. And I will say that's the mussar, because sometimes we're good as long as it's not us. Is it usr? It's not usr. Okay. Just because it's not usr doesn't mean A, it's mutter, and even if it's mutter, doesn't mean that it's good. Our job in life is not, we'll say, you know, the metric of a successful life is, true. Today I avoided Gehenna. Right? Okay, it's a good start. To avoid Gehenna is a very good start, right? To avoid Averus is a good start. I don't want to live a life of avoiding Gehenna, I want to live a life of Olam Haba. That was the Moshe that the Malach was giving to Rav Katina. So now, the logical extension of this conversation is as follows. Klei kufsa. What are klei kufsa? Exactly as it sounds. They are, look at Rashi, klei kufsa, first of all, in Rashi, talisos haru'uyin l'tzitzis, afa pisha mikupalos umunochos pekufsa, chayevim b'tzitzis. So listen to this. So this is literally, I have four-cornered garments that are folded up in a drawer. They're sitting in a drawer, meaning I'm not wearing them. They're sitting in my drawer. So the shayla is, and now the Gemara says, Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna says, in the name of Shmuel, that even clothing sitting in a drawer is chayevim b'tzitzis. So we'll say, this goes with the school of thought that tzitzis is an obligation on the chefza, not on the gavra. Listen to this. But Shmuel agrees with a zakin who made a four-corner talis lichvodo, for his glory, for his honor, that is pater of tzitzis. What's the garment that a zakin makes for his kavod? It's his tachrichim. It's his burial shrouds. See, Rabbi say, everyone agrees that burial shrouds, which are sitting in the drawer, ultimately, again, are putter from tzitzis. You don't have to put tzitzis, because we'll say, why? Because what's the logic? The logic is he has no intention of wearing them now while he is alive. My taima, asher techaseba amrachmana, haylav lach suya avida. Because we'll say, everyone agrees the obligation of tzitzis is only for clothing that is foreseeably wearable, right? And therefore, again, that doesn't apply to the tzachrichim. To which the Gemara says, by he shaita, but when a person dies, certainly vaday raminamay, we certainly put tzitzis on tachrichim. I will say, this is a dramatic statement. We certainly put tzitzis on tachrichim. Why? Mishum loeg l'rash cheref oseyu. Because I will say, again, this loeg l'rash cheref oseyu, ultimately, again, that he who mocks the pauper blasphemes his creator. So we'll say, so this idea over here is that when the person dies, we certainly go ahead and put tzitzis on the tachrichim in order that what? In order that it shouldn't be a degradation of the mace. If you don't put tzitzis on the tachrichim, then what? You're kind of, so the Gemara understands it as you are making fun of the mace, so to speak. You're denigrating the mace, that he can no longer go ahead and fulfill this particular mitzvah. And I will say, if you remember the sugya, we did this in Moed Katan, and this is a major machlokes about what we do with the talus of a mace. contemporary practice is we actually cut off one corner of the talis to go ahead and passel the talis that is used for tachrichim. But in and of itself is a fundamental. I was just telling Chaim this, that the time minhagim brings out an interesting minhag, that when someone gets a new talis, we give them the bracha that you should be zocha to be buried in it. It's an interesting bracha. Now we'll say, but the idea is that we say to the person is, you should be zocha to fulfill the mitzvah of talis, a whole, of tzitzis, throughout your life and be buried in it. Because we'll say, there's a whole discussion about whether or not you bury a person in a talis that's kosher. Why? If a person fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis during their life, that person wore tzitzis, not just talis. If you wore tzitzis during your life, then to be buried in your talis is a kavod. Because it's a testament to the fact that you fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis during your lifetime. If you did not wear tzitzis during your lifetime, and then you're buried in a talus with tzitzis, it's a little bit disingenuous. Thank you. It's disingenuous. So during your lifetime, you didn't wear tzitzis, and now you're dead, and you wear tzitzis. So there's a whole tension in halacha about whether. So some suggest. So if we know the person went ahead and fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis, we'll bury them in a talus that is kosher. And if they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, we'll bury them in a talus that doesn't have tzitzis. Well, that doesn't shtim well, I will say, because what's going to happen? Everybody comes to the Levaya. The first thing they'll be looking for is, what do you see, right? Right? Four, three, what do you see over there? Ah, Chaim Yankel, I knew he never wore tzitzis. So therefore, I will say, I don't know what they do in Eretz Yisrael, but at least in America, the contemporary practice is that if a person is buried in the talus, we generally cut off a corner of the talus. We bury the mace in a talus that has one corner cut off. Again, that's minhag. I don't know what happens. Eretz Yisrael has its own set of burial minhagim. So I say, so the idea over here is, so at least according to the Gemara over here, even if you hold that halacha lemaisa, so clothing in the drawer goes ahead and gets tzitzis, it doesn't apply to tachrichim, but when the mace is buried in the tachrichim, it's according to the Gemara over here, you certainly put the tzitzis on the tachrichim. Amar Rachva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, talis shenikra chutz l'shalosh yitbar, toch shalosh lo yitbar. We'll say another halacha. If your talis, if the garment tears within three finger breaths of the corner, you should sew it up. I'm sorry, outside of three finger breaths, you should sew it up. Within three finger breaths, you should not sew it up. But we'll say, that goes back to yesterday's app. What are we concerned with? We're concerned with that if it rips within three finger breaths and you sew it up and you have extra thread, you may end up what? Using that thread as part of the tzitzis. And then as we spoke about yesterday, you run into tasev lo mena asui. Tanya amehachi, the rice that supports this, talis shenikra chutz l'shalosh yitbar, tok shalosh. So we'll say, if the talis tears outside of three finger breaths, on the edge, you should sew it up. But if it's within three finger breaths, then what? Rabbi Meir omer lo yitbar. Rabbi Meir says you shouldn't sew it up. Chum yitbar. Chum say you can't sew it up. V'shavin shelo yavi afilu ama al ama mimokum acher. But they both agree that what? That you should not bring the corner of another garment that already has tzitzis attached to it and sew it onto this torn baggage. They both say, now the idea over here is, because that's obvious, there I'm taking tzitzis that was already part of another corner of another baggage. You can't cut off already made tzitzis that's on a corner from another baggage, and you can't do a corner transplant, right? You can't do a tzitzis transplant from one baggage to another. Now, you could untie tzitzis from a previous baggage, as we'll see in just a moment, and retie that, but you can't take already tied tzitzis, cut off the corner, and transplant the corner to another baggage. V'shavim, shemevi tchelis imokom achar v'toleba. Rabbi said, what you can do is, you can untie tzitzis that was on another baggage, and what? Retie it onto a new baggage. U'bilvad, amud beis, shelote mufsekes. Right? Ultimately, again, that's assuming that all of the strings from the previous baggage, ultimately, again, are what? Are whole, are not ripped. Shmamino, matirin mi beged le beged. We'll say, what do you learn from here? You learn from here that you can untie tzitzis from one baggage in order to tie them onto another baggage. So we'll say, so two important halachas, which we're going to develop in just. But number one, we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Let's say, again, I have a talus that's no good anymore. So we'll say, so what happens? But the tzitzis are perfect. So I have a great chap. What am I going to do? And it happens to have the corners are beautiful. Don't even get me started how beautiful the corners are. So I have a great chap. What am I going to do? I'm going to cut off the corner of Beged A, and just what? Sew them onto Beged B, and it's beautiful. This is a chaperon with the beautiful corners of Beged A, and what? I don't have to retie the tzitzis. Beautiful, except that what? Except that what? It's possible. You can't do a corner transplant from one baguette to another baguette with fully intact tzitzis. What you can do is untie tzitzis, totally untie tzitzis from one baguette and put them on a new baguette. That's called matirin mi baguette le baguette. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the case that the Gemara is talking about dilma di'i beloi. Well, say maybe the case ultimately again where we allow you to take tzitzis from one baguette and put it on another baguette is what kind of case of Bosai? Where the first baguette got worn out. Maybe that's the case of matirin mi baguette le baguette. That's the case where you can untie from one baguette to another. But if the first baguette doesn't get worn out, who says you're allowed to go ahead and take tzitzis off an old baguette to put it on a new baguette? So we'll say, so now this is going to be subject to machlokes. Tanu Rabbanan, here we go. Talis shekula tcheles. We'll say, listen to this. We're gonna change subjects for just a moment, but we're gonna come back. We'll say this discussion of matirin mi baguette le baguette is a very, very important one that happens quite often. I like my tzitzis, but my talis gets a bit worn out. I'd like to transfer my tzitzis to a new baguette. Am I allowed to do that? So here we go. Tanu Rabbanan. Talis shekula tcheles. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh
B'dvaro.
Here we go. Talis shekula tcheles. If I have a talis, I will say that is made all of tcheles. So this is the baguette. The baguette is fully tcheles. So what's talacha? Kol minei tzivonin potrin ba. We'll say, listen to this. It's actually very interesting. You could have your tzitzis of your tcheles baguette could be whatever color you want. Now, remember again, we spoke about the idea that how do we know that normally, again, tzitzis has to be white and blue? Remember, where do we learn the white from? Kanaf. Right? Excellence. From kanaf, from the corner. So normally we say, tzitzis is on the corner. Tzitzis has to be min kanaf, has to be resemble the corner. We normally assume the corner, the baguette is white, is wool. Right, and therefore the tzitzis should be white, and then of course the psil tcheles have to have tcheles as well. If the baguette is not white, in this case it's tcheles, so there is no obligation to have white strings. If there's no obligation to have white strings, then what? It could be what? What color? Any color you want. Any color you want. V'chol minei tzivonin, pochim ba, chutz, mikala ilan. We'll say with one exception, which is this type of blue that is not tcheles. This type of blue that's not tcheles, that comes from a tree. So they used to produce this color blue that actually we saw from yesterday's daf already. This tree dye that very much resembled tcheles. That you cannot go ahead and use on this talus. Look at Rashi. Kol minei tzivan pochrin ba, l'shum lavan, t'cheva demin k'naf leka, l'kiyumei ba, ein l'cha lachzer achar lavan. So interesting enough, there's actually no obligation to have white strings in this type of talis, because there's no min knaf. The baguette itself is blue. You can have whatever color you want. Chutz mikala ilan, the dami le tcheles. So if you could have any color, why can't I use this blue dye from the tree? So here's what's interesting. The concern is that one day you may come to go ahead and sell this talis to someone else. The person who buys it sees all of the blue strings, and he assumes that what? Everything is tcheles. He may come to take of these strings and use them for a different talus. He may take two blue strings, assuming they're all tcheles, use them for a different talus, and it could be that what? The blue strings that he's taking to use for a different talus are in fact, what Rabosai? Not tcheles strings, but kala ilan strings. Therefore, again, you could use whatever color you want, but if you're going to use blue for the strings, the blue must always be tcheles. It's incredible. Not because of us, I want to be clear. If I use it on the talus I'm using, it's fine. It doesn't invalidate the talus because the strings can be whatever color you want. The concern is down the road, if I sell this to someone else, another person is not going to be able to distinguish between tcheles and color ilan. Therefore, again, if you're going to put multicolored strings amongst them blue, the blue has to be tcheles. So the Marseille says, Meisvei, talus ein poter ba, Ella mina, but I will say ultimately again we learned the halacha lemaisa. If you have a talis made out of a material, so the tzitzis should be made of that same material. That's what it means. Talis ain poter ba ella mina. Only the material of the talis itself satisfies the criteria for tzitzis. Talis shekula tcheles. Ultimately, again, if you have a talis that's made fully of tcheles, maybe tcheles v'davar achar v'toleba. You should bring tcheles, right? You have to have a string that's tcheles, and dover acher, and anything else, and you could use it ultimately again as the strings for the tzitzis. The kala ilan, but I will say kala ilan, which again is this blue dye that comes from the tree. Lo yavi, you should not use in a talis that is that, with a beged is kula treles. Then heavy kasher, but if you used it, the talis is still going to be kasher. Shabbos said, we just got finished saying that what? That you can't use Kala Ilan. Now we're saying that Lechatchila you shouldn't, but b'diavad if you did it's kasher. On Rav Nachar by Yitzchak lo kasher. It's not a contradiction. Kan b'talis bas arba chutin, kan b'talis bas shmona chutin. We'll say it depends if we're talking about a talis. We're gonna expound on this more. A talis made of four strings versus a talis made of eight strings. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Talis bas dalet chutin shnayim treles ushnayim kala ilan kasher. If ultimately again, we'll say you have four strings, four of them made of treles. Excuse me, two of them made of treles, two of them made of kala ilan. It'll be kasher. Talis bas shmona chutin. Rashi then will explain. Talis bas shmona chutin. But if it's made of eight strings. Arba treves hitilba vetilba arba kala ilan lekaye mitzvas shnei minin psulin dahoyo ulabar kala ilan ika chutin kol tzarcha chayshina dama mitzrach letalis achrisi v'shakil hanach de treves meacha v'tali lehasam v'lekahacha ela kala ilan inami shakan. So here's the issue. The issue ultimately again is, if ultimately he's making it out of a talis of four strings, so therefore again there's no concern that a person may come to go ahead and what? Reuse the strings in a different talis because he knows some of them are kala ilan. But if the tzitzis has multiple strings, then there's the concern that ultimately he may come to go ahead and take the strings for kala ilan. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman essentially understands it as follows. When the concern that a person may come to take the strings and use them for, of kala ilan and inadvertently use them for treles, that's when the talis will be pasul. When that concern does not apply, the talis will be kosher. Shamis mila, Rabbi say, but what do we learn from this? We learn from this, matirin mi beged le beged. We'll say, what we do learn from this is that halacha lemaisa, meaning the takeaway from this, we'll say for our purposes, is that you can go ahead and take tzitzis from one beged to another beged. That is the takeaway, that you could remove tzitzis from one beged and retie them to another beged. We'll say, itmar, Rav Amar E Matirin Beged LeBeged, or Shmuel Amar Matirin Beged LeBeged. We'll say Machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Can you go ahead and untie tzitzis from one beged and retie them to another beged? Shmuel Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Rav says no. Shmuel says yes. Rav Amar. We'll say. So now we're going to highlight a couple of Machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. Here we go. Rav Amar E Maliki Miner Liner. We'll say this is amazing. Right after Yom Kippur, getting ready for the Yom Tovim of the year. Right, Rav says you are not permitted to go ahead and light one Chanukah ner from another Chanukah ner. Right, that's Madlikim Miner Liner. You can't light from one ner to another ner. Ushmuel Amar Madlikim Miner Liner. Shmuel says you can kindle one Chanukah ner from another ner. So Rav Amar In Halacha Rabbi Shimon Begreira. Rav says the Halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon with dragging a bench on Yom Tov, which we'll discuss on Shabbos. Ushmuel Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon Begreira. And Shmuel says Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Begreira. So we'll say, so three fundamental machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel. So case number one, can you go ahead and move tzitzis, untie tzitzis from one beged, retie them to another beged? Number two, can you go ahead and light one Chanukah ner from another Chanukah ner? And do we follow the psak of Rabbi Shimon Begreira? We'll say, we're going to see what Rabbi Shimon's case is in just a moment. Amar Abaye. Abaye says in general, Kol mili demar avid kirav. In general, we pass in like Rav. Lebar mehani tlas d'avik yishmol. But also except in these three cases where we pass in like Shmuel. Number one, matirin mi beged lebeged. Right? Ultimately, again, the halacha is Rabbi Osai, that, and this is halacha lemaisa. You could untie tzitzis from one beged and remove them to another beged. Rabbi Osai, that is true even if what? Even if the first beged is absolutely fine, if you choose that you want a new talis, and your first talis is perfectly fine, you could untie tzitzis from the first beged, retie it onto the second beged. That's halacha number one. Number two, madlikin miner liner. We'll say we pass in that halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to kindle one ner Chanukah from another ner Chanukah. Again, ideally, the Shulchan Aruch pasuk is that we don't do this. We don't do this out of concern that what's going to happen, that a person is going to see. What you can't do is, you can't light a candle from one ner Chanukah and then use that to light another ner Chanukah. That you cannot do. What you can do technically is like that is aser, because that's called the shimush hedya with the ner, that you can't do. What you can do is directly light one ner Chanukah from another ner Chanukah. But out of concern that a person will inadvertently end up lighting a candle from the ner and then use up and then light the other ner, so therefore again we don't light ner Chanukah from ner Chanukah, but technically you could. And lastly, halacha k'rav shem begreira. Both say we pass on halacha k'rav shem begreira. What's the case of shem? Both say it's actually a very important case. The sanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adamita, Kise Visafsal. Both say, listen to this. On Shabbos, a person is permitted to drag a bed, a chair, or a bench, or Bilvad Shalo Yiskavin La'asos Charetz. As long as, what Rabbi say? As long as you don't have intention to create a furrow. Rabbi say, this is what's called a Davar She'eino Miskavein. We paskin that a Davar She'eino Miskavein is mutter. That on Shabbos, you're allowed to do something which may result in a malacha, as long as it what? As long as it will not definitively result in a malacha, and it's not your kavana. That's called a davar she'eino miskavein. It is asur on Shabbos to create a furrow. Reb Shimon says, you can go ahead and drag a chair on Shabbos if it will not definitely create a furrow, and it's not your intention to create a furrow. That's a davar she'eino miskavein. Of course, if it will definitely create a furrow, then what? Then what? We call that a psik resha. And that is going to be aser on Shabbos. We're passing in all of those cases. We'll say, just very quickly, another minute. Rabbi Yehuda Masulei Lekartza. By the way, this is a great case, because we struggle with this as well. We'll say, what do you do when you go ahead and you have to give your talis to the cleaners? Right? And we'll say, anyone ever have this conversation, right, with your cleaners? I know this looks weird. I need, right? Please, don't untie the knots. No, it's not knotted. It's not knotted. Don't untie the knots. Right? And make sure you go ahead. So the cleaners here know Baruch Hashem. And I'll say, well, listen to this. In old times, they used to give their tzitzis to the cleaners. So what happens? Rabbi Yehuda Masei Lekartzra. Rabbi Yehuda gave his clothing, his talis to the cleaners. So I'll say, now, interestingly enough, the Rashi understands over here, Lekoves, Velochayesh Dilma Menaksa Tchilis Rami Bakali Ilan. Now I'll say, the concern that Rabbi Yehuda is voicing over here is, we're not concerned that what? Maybe the tchilis is going to rip. And the cleaners, you know, feels terrible. Nebuch, the blue string ripped. Let me replace the blue string, right? And it's going to bring a blue string, ultimately, again, that's dyed with the dye from the tree, right, from the Kali Ilam. We're not concerned about that. Rabbi Chanina, Ovid Le Sisa. Rabbi Chanina used to roll his sittis up in a ball and would give it to the cleaners like that. Essentially telling the cleaners, launder the baguette. Don't touch the tzitzis. Ravina chayit lemechet. Ravina used to go ahead, and I will say what he would do is he would create like a hem. He would sew the tzitzis into the garment, again making sure that the cleaners would not touch the tzitzis. They would simply launder the garment itself. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. I think I'm going to record the rest of the daf, so we'll start the Mirtz Hashem on the top of Mem Beis tomorrow. Yeah, no, tomorrow we'll start over. Tomorrow we'll start over.